Hello, everyone. It's Friday, January 3rd, 2025. I want to welcome everyone to today's program. It's the Hagmann Report coming at you live from Northwest Pennsylvania. Feels like the Russian front up here as far as snow, cold. I'm ready for some nice weather. And we'll get a couple of days, I think maybe late July, early August of sun as opposed to snow. But I want to welcome everyone to tonight's program. I have a really great program lined up for you. Reddy Taylor co-hosting. And we are going to get into a lot of things, you know, a lot of weird things taking place. And kind of a threat assessment for 2025, in addition to what happened in 2024, kind of working it all together. I'm telling you right now, if you thought 2024 was a little bit rough, hey, folks, you know what? Fasten your seatbelts. Make sure your tray tables are in their locked and or upright and locked position, because it's going to get a little bumpy, I have a feeling. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things, from the commutations and pardons to, of course, we have, you know, new boss, same as the old boss, Speaker Mike Johnson, after a brief, delay in the, or I shouldn't say delay, kind of a, what would you call that? A show of whatever on the first round of voting. I happened to walk in my office and I looked up and I saw Hakeem Jeffries in the, giving a message from the speaker's platform. And they almost had to, you know, paddle me. Seriously, I saw that and I'm thinking, what did I miss? I was only gone for like a half hour. And then they almost had to get the paddles out and shock me back into existence. But anyway, so there's that. Not too much on that. But a lot of oddities with respect to the Las Vegas incident. We're going to be getting into that. What's going on with the border, federal air marshals as well? The industry, and we showed this, we talked about this anyway, the industry around the homelessness and the homeless vets. We talked about it, and then there's a video that dropped, I think it was maybe yesterday, we showed, I think the day before yesterday, we showed some video from Ben Berkwam. This is in addition to that, so... Interesting. And then, of course, we have something that, you know, you have to expect. Judge Juan Merchan, that non-citizen judge, saying, hey, you know what? We're going to sentence President Trump on January 10th. Yeah. For the, you remember the 34 felony. seriously, you can't make this up. Bookkeeping entries. Well, I'll tell you what, they should go through Merchan's own personal finances with his daughter. You talk about the first degree conflict of interest in the state or the state of New York. You can't be doing that. And of course, the laws don't matter to the left, the communist left. Before we get into all of that, folks, boostwithdoug.com. Look, we have studies in one specific cutting edge study. Nearly half of all adults in the U.S. high blood pressure. Now, according to the CDC, about 25% of adults have their blood pressure under control. Only 25%. That's one in four. And millions of people like you and I, we could be at risk for heart disease and stroke if our blood pressure is not under control. I want to tell you something. I started using this awesome product to help manage my blood pressure, manage my cholesterol, and my weight. It's a triple action formula. And by the way, none of that Ozempic or whatever they call that stuff. None of that crap. Don't do that. That's my view. Don't do that. This is a lot easier. This triple action packed formula. It's clinically proven. It has all natural ingredients like white mulberry leaf and cinnamon bark powder. This powerful formulation is designed to support balanced blood sugar levels and healthy weight like nothing else out there. And thousands like myself wouldn't want to go a day without it. So do your body a favor. Grab it today while it's up, to 40% off during their holiday special with their go-to boostwithdoug.com. That's boostwithdoug.com. And if you order today, your delivery will be rushed to you at no additional cost. Once again, that's boostwithdoug.com. And yeah, I don't know how long their holiday specials are going to last. I got to tell you this, I can't think much more than today, maybe tomorrow. So order yours now. All right, so let me get to my show prep. Randy Taylor, again, is with me co-hosting here, and we're going to be going through a lot of stuff. I want to start out by this. Randy Taylor, come on board. Let's talk about this. What we found, what's going around on social networking, the host of the Sean Ryan show had a guest who came on, was talking about the Las Vegas, the cyber truck that went, that exploded with the military gentleman inside. Let's talk about this. If you think this couldn't got any weirder, it just did. Yesterday, I really was convinced that the Vegas and New Orleans attacks were related. I'm not so sure now. I think that there's something else going on here. What are your thoughts on what you saw today, Randy Taylor? And by the way, welcome.
Well, first of all, hello, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get the pleasantries out of the way, shall we?
Yeah. Hope everybody's doing well tonight, Friday night. Wrap up of a week, first week of the new year.
It's a fantastic. I'll tell you what, Friday, can you feel it, man? Fridays are good, aren't they? Okay. I love Fridays.
Pretty exciting.
Hello, yes, everybody.
Lots of things going on.
Even Barry Satoro chimes in there just to wish you hello. So
yeah, my buddy.
By the way, do we have Eric the Tech or Eric the Tech AI version tonight? What do we got tonight?
So which version? Which version are we running, man?
I didn't hear that. Did we talk over him?
We got the AI, Eric. All right.
Oh my gosh! All right.
As long as it's working.
All right. So, let's talk about Vegas. This week has been kind of a hell of a week. The holiday, the New Orleans attack, the explosion at Trump Hotel, and how weird can that get, and everything else. So,
well, really, the first thing is the media jumps in way too fast, talks way too fast.
Yeah.
Jumps to conclusions way too fast. And then you've got the FBI that can't make up their mind. The FBI who opens up the house of the person that did the New Orleans attack to some, I don't know, a citizen
Post,
journalist?
No,
something. Who was she?
I've got a video of this. Folks in the chat, did you see this?
Unbelievable.
Okay, so
that should still be a crime scene.
You're damn right it should.
I mean, they abandoned that faster than they abandoned Butler, Pennsylvania.
And that's saying something. This should have never taken place. Okay, so let me look here. Okay, I've got this video. I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
Yeah, we got a video of it. I sent you a video on it.
So this is cut three, Eric the Tech.
This is nuts.
Okay, have you seen this in the chat? This tour of the New Orleans terrorist.
Yeah, and it's not like a hands-off tour. They go in and start picking up stuff and doing it's nuts.
It's hands-on.
Hands-on.
Yeah, damn right. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
This is crime scene contamination. Nothing about this. You can't tell me they released the crime scene with the evidence that is there in place. And you got this person walking around contaminating the crime scene. Mm-hmm. No one at the door with a logbook. I mean,
and this isn't just a regular. This is the one they're calling an ISIS terrorist attack.
Yeah.
So if you're going to put that label on it, which the label's wrong, but if you're going to put that label on it, why would you do this? The whole country could go to war over this.
We could go to war
over an event like this. And then you're just going to turn it over to this chick. I don't get it. I absolutely don't get it. And what I've been telling people, an ISIS flag does not make an ISIS attack. Okay? I can get a hold of an ISIS flag. The ideology's there, but both of these attacks were so, I mean, they even said Vegas was ISIS to begin with.
Yeah. And then they did.
No. These were not professional events. Doug and I would have done better than either one of these events if we wanted to be terrorists, which we're not. The idea of it makes me sick.
And no disrespect to those people hurt and killed New Orleans. No disrespect.
Not at all. But in fact, I'm angry that they're taking it so lightly, because to me, that's a slap in the face to the families of the victims.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's disgusting what I saw.
But there's something wrong. Okay. So at crime scenes, if somebody, and especially at the FBI level, but any police department, you station someone at the door, you have a perimeter, you establish a perimeter. I don't care if it's a secondary or tertiary crime scene. You always handle it the same way, oftentimes like the primary crime scene. Mm-hmm. You do not let anyone go in there, especially a journalist or whoever, okay? And you better have, booties and gloves, and you don't touch anything. And it's very controlled.
No smoking, nothing.
No. So watch this. Again, this is cut three. If you go to HagmanPI.com and click on the episode title after it is up tonight, you click on the episode title. All of the links that we play will be in the body of the description for tonight's episode. Just saying this again, because a lot of people still are emailing me saying, hey, where are the links? You have to wait until the show is fully uploaded on Twitter, and then go to Hagman PI, click on the title, and bada bing, bada bang. But here's cut three. It's 2 minutes and 13 seconds long, and pay attention to the door. This always got me too, for different reasons, but you can tell the FBI, they always take the door off they always bust through the door. You could leave the door unlocked for them. You can open the door, keep it open a crack, and they're still going to take a battering ram and come through.
The first thing they do when they arrive and they get ready to go in the door, first of all, they disable any cameras in the front of the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
They absolutely do. We know that from the J6 arrest. Okay? Tons of them. And then they break the door. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure we could have gotten that door much more delicately.
I wouldn't be
kicking in a door anyway of a bombing suspect personally.
Well, exactly.
That's just my thought process.
And maybe, look, I don't know how they would do this, but maybe they, I don't know, figured this out before, whatever. But when I was an operational asset, okay, I would tell the, when I was inside an area where I knew they were going to come in and take someone down. All right. I'd say, look, I'll keep the door or unlocked for you or open a little bit. No, didn't matter. It scared the living crap out of me when splinters and doorknobs flying and people yelling and heaven forbid
a booby trapped.
Yeah, in this case. All right, here's cut three.
We are here inside the New Orleans terrorist home. You can see that it's been clearly destroyed, the door at least, from the FBI raid yesterday. But if we walk through the home, we see some signs of what he was up to. He had this work area here, lots of different chemicals splayed around. and different electronics. This is, again, a work setup.
Pause that for a second. Help me, no. Because you have no idea what friggin' chemicals are out there, mm-hmm. for crying out loud. Look at the civil liability that could cause.
Yeah. Well, what if she just bent down and scraped two of them together on the table?
Why not? There's a little dustier, you know.
This is ridiculous. This is for show to make a point. There's some sort of, they're trying to drive a point home here.
I don't know what they're the point would be.
They're trying to make it look more like it's organized ISIS. That's what they're trying to do, when this was nothing but a blunder.
Man. All right, continue with this, and it's about another minute and a half.
They're going to Syria.
Left receipts, just very unkempt in here. If we go over here, actually, you can see the Department of Justice documents here, the search warrant, and the property that they recorded here, which seems to be a lot of chemicals. Again, just left in disarray. There's a bedroom back here, and his, what appears to be his collection of religious materials, his Qurans, an open Quran with a passage there, as well as even the Bible here. But mostly books on Islam and his prayer rug just to the left of me here.
And if you go back,
there's another bedroom here. You can see he left all these belongings, contact lenses, personal belongings, his bathroom. This seems to be some sort of workspace, again, with other chemicals here. The light's still on. Some kind of station set up here. We're not really sure what that was for. In, you know, what we can assume was also a bedroom. You can see clothes left here, and just a sign that someone was here up until those last few moments when neighbors said he left just before the New Year's holiday, saying he was done with his lease, it was up, and he was on his way to New Orleans where he would live there. Didn't take any furniture because he said his new home would be furnished. That's all we know so far.
I have never in my life seen anything like that, Doug.
The only thing missing...
I'm astounded.
I'm blown away, too.
The mood music wasn't there. They needed some Arabic music playing in the background. You know,
there you go.
Crazy stuff. And there were no camels on the wall. So I just don't know. I did see a camel briefly in the beginning. But then... Shut up.
Yeah, the only thing missing was Sharpie on the wall. The FBI was here, you know.
Yeah, Kilroy hanging with the big nose over.
There you go. Yeah. FBI was here.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Okay.
Did you believe that what we just saw?
I mean, no.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that, Doug.
No. You know.
And here's more chemicals here. How many times did she say chemicals? Three, four?
Three, for sure.
Yeah. Because she said chemicals when she walked in. Then she walked over by the refrigerator and said something about chemicals, which I didn't see. And then she went back in the workshop area and she said chemicals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if all these chemicals are in here and they're so dangerous, why is she bumbling around in there? I don't get it. I've never seen anything like that.
I picked this up on my way out. You know, yeah. I picked this. Hey, sir, do you know if this is dangerous? Could this be dangerous? I got this. It says property of New Orleans. New Orleans terrorist. Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I've never seen anything like that.
That
really caught me off guard.
Oh man. There's what can you possibly say about that in today's FBI? I mean, January 20th cannot come fast enough. Christopher Wray has got to be kicked on his ass out the friggin' door. Everyone on that floor needs to go. Cash Patel needs a clean house. When did they stop wearing suits? I mean,
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Sad.
Yeah, sad.
They're kind of an embarrassment from where I stand.
Mighty Quinn, Quinn said all she needed was a nose ring. Yeah.
You and I were talking about this earlier. We couldn't work for these people.
Oh, hell no.
You know what I mean? Because, and if we were doing what we were doing 20 years ago, okay, these sort of things wouldn't have been happening.
No.
Especially, there's something between the two of these that are connected in some remote way. And I think it may be in an online forum somewhere. Because for some reason, these two people did this on the same day.
Yeah.
And that's not coincidence. That part was planned. How is the question? Where is the connection? And that's where everybody's still scratching their heads.
And don't say Fort Bragg, Bragg is a city, you know.
Say an online presence.
I do suspect. But here is something that bothers me about Vegas. All right. Now, look, I know what Elon Musk says about the changing subjects is just a tad here. I know what he says about, you know, you've got to have a living person in the driver's seat of a Tesla or whatever the electric vehicle thing. Okay, fine. You know, it acts, and I've done this with my own vehicle, not mine, but my stepson who's got this vehicle that I don't know, looks like a, you know, it's got all these bells and whistles. I don't know what half the crap does. But if I took my hands off the steering wheel, you know, it yells at me. Okay. It dings and bings and bongs and, you know.
Are you talking about the vehicle we were in?
Yeah. So,
it's cool, man. It's like being on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Yeah. It's something that, you know, hey, let me have my 70s Camaro. Okay. But anyway.
Well, give me what we have, Captain.
but with this, I'm thinking rent a corpse. Okay, now look, I could be completely just gone, but there's something wrong with this whole Vegas thing.
Now you did see the video of him charging the car.
Yes,
right on the way to Vegas.
Yes,
he did. He did stop. Now this is what I really got a kick out of. We have a energy conscious, green terrorist. Not your everyday terrorist. No, sir. He rented a car that he had to stop and charge on the way to the bomb scene.
Yeah, man,
what else can we throw in there that makes it good?
Yeah. Well, okay. Now,
we did get a better video, though. We did get a color video of it.
Yeah, and you know, I did not put that in here for in the show prep. It's out there.
Yeah, to me, it's easy to find, folks. It's something's really, really weird here. I did notice that he was cooking the tires like we used to do in high school. You know, get the tires going and get the smoke going. He was doing that right before the explosion.
But see, that's what... Was he really doing that for that purpose? Or was it...
Well, I don't know what the purpose was. He might have been all pumped up. This guy, something was wrong with the guy. They said his wife left him a couple days before.
Instantly, his DNA didn't match his child's. And
this is very well. This very well could have been a false flag in the making, and correct, he jumped the gun.
Okay.
Very possible, because note he was a sergeant, but in an intelligence unit.
Correct.
Okay, which exposes you automatically if you're at Fort Bragg. Trust me, the CIA is in there.
They're all over the place.
Yeah. Well, but have no doubt, because Fort Bragg, okay, they're operational. They're operational 24 hours a day, ready to go, and they work around the world. Okay, that's your 82nd Airborne.
Yeah.
Okay, those are Rangers in there, Delta Force in there. These are the guys, and this guy was Delta Force, which is even higher than a Ranger.
Okay.
There's just some things here that aren't clicking.
You would think, here's, boy, you would think a man like that, yeah, but I know a man like that would be able to construct a better bomb. If his intent was to blow the facade off a Trump Tower or do some damage, he could certainly have done a better job with his knowledge. Right? I mean, simple as that. If that was his intent. Mm-hmm. If that was even him in the man who was identified by way of tattoos on a severe, you know, severely burned beyond recognition body, and miraculously, apparently he must have had one of those special FBI passports and military IDs, because those survived the fire.
Yeah, just like at 9/11.
Yeah,
when the two different terrorists. They found their passports on the ground at the base of the World Trade Centers, unscathed. Impossible. Absolutely impossible.
So I guess the thing is, look, we don't know much of anything right now, but what we do know is we're not being told the truth about what happened. So what we have to do is dig for the truth, find out as best we can, match it to, or at least look for some sort of continuity with a larger plan, perhaps for 2025, and see where this fits, if it fits at all, or if this is a one-off. It could be a one-off. Who the heck knows? But, you know, common sense would dictate, you know, you got two incidents that happen hours apart on the first of the year. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Elon Musk did say that. Because of the construction of the car, well, of course he's going to say that because he's the manufacturer. Because of the construction of the car is why the blast wasn't more impactive.
Right. I mean,
I say what Doug said. If this guy, maybe he couldn't get his hands on materials. I don't know. But a guy like this, I think that, I mean, look what happened in Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
You know, you get a box truck, load that thing up, soak all that stuff down in diesel fuel, and go to town.
If that was his intent.
Yeah.
Or if that was
if I went to blow up Trump Towers, trust me, we'd have blown up Trump Towers.
Exactly.
We wouldn't have just left a black spot on the front door.
No.
Something isn't right there, and it's going to be one of those things where we're going to probably never know the truth.
Well,
remember when Trump, before, when he was coming into, he just got into office, and there was a Vegas shooting.
Yep.
Nobody ever really came out and said exactly what happened. We were lied to a million times by the Las Vegas Police Department, but nobody ever came clean on that to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one has come clean on that.
And Paddock was dead before the first shot was fired. I mean, look, everything about Vegas was a bunch of crap that was told to us. And it's interesting, the Vegas police chief ended up the chief in Maui for the Maui fires. You know, you've got that. You've got East Palestine, that problem. You've got, again, Maui. You've got Vegas, you've got East Palestine, you've got a whole bunch of buildings, food hubs, and being destroyed. You've got so many things, the spy balloon, the drones, you've got, and we can't get crap out of the government, okay? We can't. But going back to Vegas, an alternative media gentleman who's got a show, Sean Ryan, and I've gotten like 100 emails about this. And you, I know you did too. In fact, we alerted one another at the same time, one by email, one by text. To even add more mystery. All right. And I'm not saying that this is true. This isn't true. I don't know.
It's another piece of paper on this table.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? We're looking at a whole bunch of things right now. And that's one more thing that popped up that really threw me off.
Okay, exactly. So, if you haven't seen this, now this is kind of lengthy. You can queue up cut 5, AI Eric the Tech. this is on the Sean Ryan Show. Guest Sam Shoemate says he was sent an email on Tuesday from how do you pronounce that? His name Livelsberger. The gentleman that, or the man that...
Yeah, that's right, Livelsberger. That's okay. A good pronunciation, Doug.
He blew himself up, okay, at the Trump Hotel. But what he said was the drones over New Jersey were operating by the use of a gravitic propulsion system. Now, I've got a copy of the email that was sent. You'll see it, I think, in this clip. This is worth playing. It's a little more. It's more than a few minutes. This is where I'm not going to. Obviously, the interview is well over an hour, but if we can get several minutes of this, this would be good. Listen to this. This drops out of the blue. I don't know what to think of it. So, watch this. Cut 5.
Man, but it started off as comments. So when you have a big Instagram account, you're going to miss a lot of messages because people message, you know, go to hidden messages and everything else. You miss a lot of stuff. Well, I kept seeing this comment on recent posts that I put in there, and it was from this burner account that said, hey, check your DMs, check your DMs, check your DMs. So I go in there and try to find it. There's no message from this guy, hadn't come through or whatever. And then he messages again once that message was opened up. And I said, hey, your previous messages haven't come through. What do you want to tell me? And he said, what I'm going to send you, now these are literally his words, what I'm going to send you is going to change the course of humanity. That was his phrase, change the course of humanity. Okay, a little bit dramatic. I get these messages all the time. People have this big story they want to tell. They want to expose their command, whatever. I take everything with a grain of salt until I have evidence and proof. So this guy is insistent. He tells me that he is a 18 Zulu who I've spoken to before, and he really needs to get this stuff to me. And then he talks about you. He says, I need you to get me in contact with Sean Ryan. I'm like, dude, I don't know Sean Ryan. I'm not that big. But he's insistent that I get him diverted to media sources, says go to Fox News, whatever else. And I said, all right, tell me what you got. So I give him my Proton email account, give him my signal number. And he reaches out immediately, and I'm going to read this initial message for you because this doesn't have names or anything else on it, but this was his message on Sunday. He reached out and said, like I said, this last Sunday, he said, sending with a VPN active on Wi-Fi only. Do not message me. I will send out updates via both Signal and email, but trust me, you're going to want to be involved. Well, first of all, no, I didn't want to be involved. Anyways, and then, so I didn't message. I responded back to his original Instagram message, and I said, hey, I got your message on Proton Mail. And he said, cool, delete this. So I deleted it. That's how I ended up getting this message on Tuesday. So the message that this right here, this manifesto, if you want to call it that, came in on Tuesday. And when I started reading this, my initial take was, okay, this is off the deep end. It's bonkers. I can't validate or verify any of the stuff in this manifesto. Mm-hmm. And I told him that in a subsequent email. And I'll read that to you later, my response to him. And once again, my response to him elicited, hey, get me in contact with Sean Ryan, Fox News, and he even said Pete Hegseth. Get me in contact with Hegseth. And I'm like, dude, I don't have the incoming Secretary of Defense's phone number. Sorry, bro. That's the last time I talked to him. So yesterday morning.
What date was that?
That was Tuesday. That was this Tuesday. So we're Friday now. That was 3 days ago.
So the day before. 30th?
Yeah, the day before the attack. I dismissed this stuff out of hand.
The 31st. It was on the 31st.
Yes. In fact, I posted something on my... and I told your producer about this as well. But this was a post I made on Twitter. I was just trying to be humorous, off the cuff. It was... I didn't mean anything about it. I was just being humorous for my audience. I said, my inbox was especially eventful today. Allegations of war crimes, government anti-gravity technology, and fears about being tracked and watched by the feds. It's always, the world is ending and I have this information that needs to get to the media, and never, how you doing, brother? Everything all right? I was just playing off of a meme. Mm-hmm. It was just supposed to be a joke. That was the body of his email that he sent me. And I didn't think anything about it. I didn't know who Matt Berg was, Matt Livelsberg, or anything else. He told me who he was in the email. He pointed me to his LinkedIn account. I didn't know any of this stuff. And I was just kind of being humorous to my audience. Like, I get these crazy messages sometime. And then the day after that message, I wake up and my buddy was like, hey, Sam, nobody in the community seems to know this guy. Do you happen to know who he is? And I played that for you before we came up here. Just absolute shock. That's how I woke up yesterday.
Do you want to play it now?
Yeah, excuse my language. I was definitely in shock. Let me find this chat. So,
no. While you're digging through that, you know what we should do? I should get that Instagram account from you to see if they messaged any of our Instagram accounts, and we should also get that email address.
I don't have
address.
It. I deleted it.
You deleted it.
He told me to delete it, and I deleted it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should also get that email address and see if they sent it into the through the website and see if he tried to contact us. Get that to the FBI.
So I'm in a military.
They actually do something.
Yeah, I'm in a military group chat. Buddy Green Beret, Corey. He says at Sam. Nope. Nobody I've asked in the community knows him. You is at 8:46 a.m. yesterday. So. I woke up and I said, OF, I'm shaking. This guy emailed me 2 days ago. I'm not playing. And then he said, damn. And then this was my response to him at 8:48. Like, just woke up.
Dude, I'm fucking shaking, bro. You don't understand. This guy emailed me and told me he was being watched by the FBI and Homeland Security, but they weren't going to do anything to him because he had a V-bid. I'm not fucking playing, dude. I have the email. I am shaking, man. This is nuts.
And it goes from there. And I sat there for probably an hour talking to my wife. I'm shaking. I can't even think straight. Like, normal day is shot. And I didn't know what I want to do. Do I sit on this? Do I do nothing with it? I've got to tell somebody. I've got to tell the FBI at least, because this is huge. This is all over the news. And then I was like, well, dude, this guy wanted to get in contact with Sean Ryan. So let me get this to Sean Ryan, see if I can get with him. And I had a buddy who knew your producer, and we went from there. But
wow. Do you want to read the email?
Yep. So this email came in on December 31st at 10:42 a.m. That is Tuesday. He said, in case I do not make it to my decision point or onto the Mexico border, I am sending this now. Please do not release this until 1 January and keep my identity private until then. First off, I am not under duress or hostile influence or control. My first car was a 2006 black Ford Mustang V6 for verification. What we have been seeing with drones, he puts that in quotes, he says drones, is the operational use of gravitic propulsion systems powered aircraft by most recently China and the East Coast, but throughout history, the U.S. Only we in China have this capability. Our OPSEN, that's Operation Center, our OPSEN location for this activity is in the box below. China has been launching them from the Atlantic from submarines for years, but this activity recently has picked up. As of now, it is just a show of force, and they are using it similar to how they used the balloon for SIGINT and ISR, which are also part of the integrated comms system. There are dozens of those balloons in the air at any given time. The so what is because of the speed and stealth of these unmanned aircraft. They are the most dangerous threat to national security that has ever existed. They basically have an unlimited payload capacity and can park it over the White House if they wanted. It's checkmate. U.S. government needs to give the history of this, how we are employing it and weaponizing it, how China is employing them and what the way forward is. China is poised to attack anywhere in the East Coast. I've been followed for over a week now from likely Homeland or FBI, and they are looking to to move on me and are unlikely going to let me cross into Mexico, but won't because they know I am armed and I have a massive V-bid. Let me pause right there for a second. So he says a massive V-bid. When I was talking to the FBI yesterday, they didn't know what a V-bid was. I had to explain what that acronym meant, literally.
You fucking serious?
Dead serious. I said it twice and he goes, you said that word V-bid. Can you tell me what that is? For your audience, a V-bid, for your audience who has not been in the GWAT for the last 20 years, a V-bid is a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device, in layman's terms, a car bomb, what we saw at Trump Tower. So, backing up, he says, I am armed and have a massive V-bid. I've been trying to maintain a very visible profile and have kept my phone, and they are definitely digitally tracking me. Here's where he gets into the other stuff, and this is where we had to redact the names. Well, your producer redacted the names. I have knowledge of this program and also war crimes that were covered up during airstrikes in Nimruz province, Afghanistan in 2019 by the admin, DOD, DEA, and CIA. I conducted targeting for these strikes of over 125 buildings. 65 were struck because of CIVCAS, that's civilian casualties, that killed hundreds of civilians in a single day. U.S. FORA continued strikes after spotting civilians on initial ISR. It was supposed to take 6 minutes and scramble all aircraft in CENTCOM. The U.N. basically called these war crimes, but the administration made them disappear. I was part of that cover-up with U.S. FORA, an agent, redacted, of the DEA. So I don't know if my abduction attempt is related to either. I worked with, redacted, IO staff on this as well as the response to Bala Murghab. Redacted commander at the time, redacted, can validate this. You need to elevate this to the media so we avoid a world war because this is a mutually assured destruction situation. Then he says, for vetting, my LinkedIn is Matt Berg or Matthew Livelsberger, an active duty 18 Zulu out of 110, that's 1st Battalion 10th Special Forces Group. My profile is public. I have an active TSSCI with UAP, USAP access.
What is USAP? Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
You can go to Hagman PI and you can watch the entire video. But Randy Taylor, two things on this. He talks about two things. The incident in Afghanistan, which is the latter, and the former, which he mentions first, is the drone or are the drones off the East Coast, being Chinese, special anti-gravitic or gravitic propulsion systems. And then he mentions he's being shadowed by the FBI or HSI, Homeland Security Investigative Unit, or both. Okay, that's what he says. And we know that we were electronically tracked by the feds during our investigation in Western Pennsylvania this past summer, you and I. So is that a thing? Yes. That's why the satellite phone store has Faraday bags, and other measures to, among other things, to keep you off the radar. So I don't know what to make. I mean, is it authentic? I mean, is this possible, RT? I mean,
it's possible. Anything's possible. I don't know. It just seems to, I don't know. I would probably, with everything he's saying, they would know that he sent this transmission out in this email. They would know that. Maybe they killed him. Maybe, like you said, maybe they killed him, put him in that car. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because it sounded like he had a plan to go, you know. And I could see if they shot him at the Mexican border. But you know what I'm saying? It just, for everything he was saying, the whole thing's just very strange.
And there's a whole lot of other stuff in there, in that video, other disclosures. I do know that he had, as we have, folks, I mean, it's no big deal. It's no big secret. We have encrypted communication apps on our phones. Eric the Tech, or Randy Taylor, myself. There's nothing wrong with that. So we can call and talk and text via an encrypted app. In this case, what Ryan said, or the guest, the number for that encrypted app was changed after after his death. You get what I'm saying, right? You can't do that, obviously, unless somebody hacks into the encrypted app, which is not that easy to do, or someone has the phone, or the person is still alive, or who knows what. So there's something really wrong with all this crap. Really, there really is.
I don't know why he would make those disclosures and then turn around and kill himself. A lot of this just seems very erratic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely not textbook.
Well, no. And you know, I've probably gone to, I don't know, a dozen or so, maybe 15. I don't know, car fires. I've seen some weird stuff, okay, but when you're talking about a body being burned beyond recognition in that heat in that vehicle, and somebody says, well, he was identified by way of his tattoos, maybe, or there was some identification process.
DNA would be most likely, that and dental charts.
Yeah. And you can get DNA off of, you know, skeletal remains and such. But okay, so but there's a whole lot wrong.
And the lack of really an explosion. I could go out in my garage and I just have a normal garage like everybody on the planet. And I guarantee I could do better than what he did out there. I have in my garage, just gasoline and various things that you have. I know I have fertilizer out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just, it's very suspect.
Very much.
The lack of explosion. Was there an explosion? Sure. But there, in my opinion, there was quite a lack of an explosion.
I mean, some Roman candles and bottle rockets.
Considering what this guy did for a living, how he was trained. You're trained in I learned it in basic training, improvised explosives. We learned that in basic training just because when I initially went into basic training, part of my training was taking out tanks to be able to take out armored vehicles. If you're a grunt, you need to know because that's the one that's going to kill you. It's not necessarily the soldier I'm worried about. I'm worried about the tanks, you know, the APCs, and the Bradley fighting vehicles, things like that. So you're taught how to improvise with these things. And this guy would be taught far more than the average person.
What does it, you know, with all of the, I mean, you look at New Orleans, the guided tour, or maybe not guided tour, the abandonment of a crime scene.
I felt like I was visiting Abraham Lincoln's house or something.
Attraction.
I mean, there wasn't even a cop out. There wasn't even an officer, anybody in there. Did you notice another soul in there?
I didn't see. There might have been somebody outside.
Not even a fat off-duty cop, you know?
No
CSI. I didn't see any fingerprint dust. She would have pointed that out.
Oh, yeah. And believe me. She
would have pointed that out.
Did you ever try to clean that up?
Everything in that place was white.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a load of crap there.
Yeah, you take that, you take Vegas, and you take all of this combined over the last, 72 hours? My goodness.
Mm-hmm. And this is just getting started. There's going to be a lot more stupid things in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
Ladies and gentlemen, but here's what you need to be concerned. If the professionals show up, the real ISIS... Because people will die. Lots of people.
Yeah. No doubt in my mind. And I think I have a bad feeling.
I do. I really do. You feel like the other shoe is going to drop here.
Yeah. I think this is all I mean, as much as there's stuff wrong with these two incidents, I think there's more to come, and you're about to see some things that you never thought you'd see in the U.S. I just want to say welcome, 80s Forever. Thanks for joining us. And Red River Patriot, thanks for reminding us about Elaine Shao's sister in the electric car in the pond in Texas, which is McConnell's sister-in-law, Elaine Shao's sister's Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law. Thanks for reminding us about that incident, which has really never been thoroughly explained or investigated. So there's a lot of stuff out there going on that we cannot forget. We can't afford to forget. So just saying. So there's that.
They'll do much better on the next terrorist attack, believe me.
Yeah.
That's what scares me is the amount of terrorists that I know are in this country. And I don't have to be an expert to know that. You don't have to be an expert to know that.
No.
The floodgates have been open along the border. I promise you. And Doug and I just made a conservative estimate talking. I know I made the estimate that there's at least 500 or 600 ISIS terrorists to come in. And I would dare say more. And I just know you're going to see them. They are pulling out all the stops. And remember, ISIS was funded and started by Obama.
Yep.
Okay. And Hillary Clinton and their funding over there of Syrian freedom fighters. Okay. And those Syrian freedom fighters have come up through our border. And anybody that disagrees with me, you're an idiot.
Come on, man.
They are here. They are here, and when it's go time, people are going to die.
Yep.
And all these people who sat around going, oh, we need to let everybody in and all that, you're going to regret what you've said.
Amen to that.
Someone in your family will die. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how you feel about open borders in. Freaking losers.
In the lack.
I can't believe you people. I don't. Not you people, you know what I'm saying? The left. I can't believe how they sleep at night.
Well, I believe this is their intent. That chaos factor, they need that chaos.
Well, the upper ones that plan stuff, yes. But I'm talking about the idiots that actually vote for these clowns. If you vote for the left,
yeah,
you are mentally challenged. And I would debate any. I don't care who you are. I would debate you and destroy you on a debate stand. Absolutely,
100% agree with you. Yeah,
I can't believe the people that they just hand voting cards to. They obviously, they don't check IDs, but the idiots that vote and put these clowns in office. I don't get you. I don't understand. Why is Elizabeth Warren still in office? Hakeem Jeffries. Why is he even in the government? Give me one redeeming quality of Hakeem Jeffries. You can't give me one. You can't even tell me he's a good dad. You can't tell me anything. There's nothing I know about that guy that's positive. Nothing. I look down the left. Oh, man, I just Pelosi and people just allow this and they keep voting for it, Doug. They keep voting for it. They keep voting for it. Oh. And one last thing. I don't understand why Rob Reiner is not on fire. Talk about a grease fire. Talk about some fat burning, baby. That'd be sweating to the oldies. I mean, how many times did he say if Trump won, he was going to set himself on fire?
Enough to ask whether he's going to keep his promise, right? I mean,
and so many of these people.
What was that? Good.
Good times. Platinum series.
Order in the court. Order in the court.
Come on, here we go.
Double it. A
That was close.
Take it back.
Eric's having too much fun. Yeah. He's having too much fun.
You wait until the real Eric gets back.
He's going to spank you. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, look, it is kind of a freaky Friday, right? We've got a. This is pretty intense when you think about it. When you think about the number of people who have invaded this country, when you think about who is in charge and who is in charge, right? I mean, you have to ask yourself. Obama, I'm sure, is a point man, but who's behind Obama?
How much more desperate are they going to be, Doug?
And that's it. Because
that scares me.
By the way, folks, make sure you subscribe to Wisconsin Christian News, wisconsinchristiannews.com. Please do that for my sake, Wisconsin Christian News, and help them out too if you can. A new edition's coming out. As a matter of fact, I'm a tad late with my column, but I was looking at a couple of different things, including a threat assessment, you know, for 2025. And it was on, I should say this, it was on January 17th of 1961 when President Dwight D. Eisenhower warned Americans about this nefarious, you know, the infamous speech about the nefarious military-industrial complex that exists behind the scenes of power. And I'm just saying that we are, I think we're going to see the fact that this this now military-industrial big pharmaceutical globalist the bureaucrat permanent state cabal is really not going to like President Trump taking office, which I think in part is why you have people like Jamie Raskin making noise about, you know, about his certification and his inauguration. You've got other.
I'll tell you, Raskin needs to just shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because Raskin and these people that are doing this are getting themselves in dangerous area.
Yes.
And I'm not just, once again, I'm not threatening anybody. I'm telling you what's going on out there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to save lives when I say things like this. I'm doing that because you people keep running stupid ideas up the flagpole, okay? And there's people in this country that are sick and tired of you. And you really are, you have got.
Besides
to,
us.
I'm telling you Democrats, you've got to be careful. And your ones that are far left and way out of line, you need to reel them in because they're endangering everybody.
Endangering everybody to the extent that, you know, Trend de Aragua, the criminal gang, the ultra violent criminal gang, mm-hmm. has been, I think this was on the 31st or verified. They are now in 19 states. Their numbers continue to grow. New York Post wrote about this. Think about that. Not MS-13,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but TDA, 19 mm-hmm. states.
And if they, you know, if they run and they decide they want to take over a building or something, they don't stop at the door and go, hey, are you Republican or Democrat?
No.
Before they shoot you. You know, get it together, people. I'm telling all of you, the Democrats, you need to get your heads out of your asses.
100%.
Because you're endangering everyone with your stupidity.
Yep.
Everyone.
And you know, in the meantime, if you go to if you queue up, let's go to cut 7 because this is the left. They are seeing in the Biden regime, the people who are propping up Weekend at Bernie's at the White House. They're secretly ramming through amnesty and refugee applications. This is stuff that these are numbers that are not counted at all.
I have one for you.
Go
and
go ahead.
Ask the people in chat this, okay?
All right.
Who watched the Congressional Medal of Honor Award ceremony today?
Joe Biden. I did. Yes.
What, were you not impressed with how lucid he was? No, it messed me up. Because I'm used to, this guy normally is like watching a toaster talk or something. You know what I mean?
Well, he was pretty handsy. He was pretty handsy with Liz Cheney. Okay. He wouldn't let go of her hand.
But when he was rattling off the Medal of Honor stuff, I was amazed. He was very lucid at that point. Now, don't get me wrong. He still looks like the guy that played the banjo on Deliverance. He absolutely looks like that guy. Okay. Especially when he's up close and he's got this thing where his eyes are like these slits in this almost, a terrestrial looking head. Well, it's just like, it reminds you of the dude that plays the banjo on Deliverance.
Yeah. Yeah.
But today, I was amazed how lucid he was. It floored me.
Well, hey, which Biden was it, or perhaps was it the cocktail? You know,
could be.
I don't know. We have the short Biden, the tall Biden, the lucid one.
There's a muscular Biden too. I saw him.
Yeah,
he's the one that rides his bike and jogs. This guy can't walk, and you're trying to convince me that he jogs
and rides a bike. Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. Can you look at a bike with training wheels?
My gosh.
Well, that's all right. Let's watch your video, man.
Yeah, this is relevant because what they're doing right now ahead of President Trump is, and these numbers are not part of the actual numbers, they're ramming through amnesty and refugee applications like nobody's business. This is cut 7. The runtime on this is 1:57. Here it is, cut 7.
Democrats, particularly the Biden regime, DHS and DOJ, are secretly ramming through, not in these grand press conferences where they're telling you what their agenda is, but secretly through administrative review, really a testament to the power of the deep state, massive sweeping overhauls of amnesty and refugee application, that whole system, H-1B visas, H-2B visas, admissions criteria for migrants under the idea of what constitutes national security threats, as well as jamming and gumming up the system when it comes to the interplay between asylum officers and immigration judges. If you want me, I can run through some of the changes on the H-1B program because, Steve, please, this is the top line. Please. This is the top line assessment. What they're doing to reform the H-1B program is to, quote, improve program efficiency and provide greater benefits and flexibilities for petitioners and beneficiaries. Now, you'd be mistaken to think that any of those nouns are in reference to American citizens or American workers, but no, rather they only apply to foreign workers and the companies that are streamlining them here into the United States to undercut the pay of every single American citizen, STEM or otherwise. They actually go so far is to remove the itinerary requirement, which mandates that employers or the body shops giving out these visas stipulate and actually explain what exactly these workers are doing, how long they're working, where they're working. That requirement is completely gone. They're actually reworking the definition of what constitutes NGOs and the nonprofit H-1B visa category, which try to make that make sense. I don't know why we're importing a bunch of foreigners and people from India and China to work for left-wing nonprofits. That makes absolutely no sense. I'd say you could probably compound that with what the whole Act Blue fiasco, where all these left-wing organizations are being funded by foreign cash too. They're actively working to basically rework the student visa process, so anyone that is on an H-1B or an F-1 status.
So Bannon is saying, look, let's just cancel H-1B completely. And I agree with him.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been defiled. It's been abused.
Oh, very much.
A lot of these things we go into with good intentions in this government, and then the left gets a hold of them and abuse. And don't get me right, the right abuses them too. Okay.
Right.
But definitely the left, just with their communist attitude and the way that they look, is the way they're trying to bring this government down. They're doing everything to destroy this country. And they're really in panic mode. So they're trying to destroy Trump. They're trying to make him so, because they know he's going to do mass deportations. They know he's going to come in. They're trying to put so much stuff on his plate that it's going to take them a year to really launch and go after it. And I guarantee They're going to try the impeachments again. They're going to try all that crap. And I hope he steps on them. I hope it's a different Donald Trump that hits them like 2 tons of crap. And he's going to run them over. We can't go through this again. We cannot, as a country, do this again.
We can't. And I think what you said is the left and the rhinos and the globalists and really every lobbyist in D.C., they don't want Trump in there. They don't want Musk, RFK, Vivek. They don't want them in there.
Nope. And they're trying to win RFK back over. You watch right. the left. I don't know if everybody's noticing that. They're complimenting him on how he's so political and so, easy to talk to. And I hope he doesn't fall for that because these people are slime. But I noticed that right away. I when they throw enough stuff at you, you got enough on them, they try and win you over. And next thing they'll try and do is blackmail the guy.
Yes.
What's next? We know how they operate. That's why I told you Trump should put us to work. We know how these people operate. We'd be good with that. Well, we'd be good with
that. By the way, I was told by someone close to that camp, someone who knows President Trump's son real well, that they've gotten unbelievable number of unsolicited resumes for various positions anything you can imagine. I'll just leave it at that. So, hey, well, it kind of reminded me of the movie Vegas Vacation, where Randy Quaid, I don't know how many people in chat remember that have seen this, goes up to Wayne Clark. Newton and says, I'll be your bodyguard. I'll die for you. Okay. I mean, that picture emerged in my head after I was told that. So, whatever. I agree. But you're right. They're trying to really get rid of President Trump. And Mike Davis, who I've got an immense amount of respect for, he's saying, look, they're going to sentence Trump on January 10th, but on the 20th, justice is coming. Now, the reason I selected this and we selected this is this gives you a little bit of insight into both the left as well as the plans by the camp with President Trump. I think it's a pretty insightful clip. It's the entire clip is 17 minutes. We're not going to play that. But that's what you can find at HagmanPI.com. But listen to what Mike Davis has got to say. This Juan Merchan, who's conflicted again, one degree of separation, which he should never, ever, 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 ever. In fact, they should strip this man of his citizenship because he wasn't born in the U.S. I think he was born in
Bogota. He should be disbarred and deported. Yeah.
And deported, right on. Yep. If not prosecuted, and then persecuted.
I'd give him a choice. We can deport you, or we're going to prosecute you.
Prosecute you, and then
poison? He is so wrong in what he's doing, and I hope he doesn't take some kind of jail time because it's going to be amazing to watch what would happen at that point. With Trump's security, it would be amazing. It'd be amazing. Because if my job was to protect Trump, shoot the judge.
Hey, think about this. I died for you, with the Wayne Newton. Levi 18224, can I ask a question? Is not the CIA at the very least one tier of the shadow government, Operation Gladio, sound familiar? Of course. Absolutely. The OSS, the predecessor of the CIA, then the CIA. I mean, think of Operation Timber Sycamore,
remember how compartmentalized the CIA is. In a lot of times, this hand doesn't even know what this hand's doing. And we both. I had a very good friend who was in the CIA for 22 years. Dr. Bruce Tuft.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I've talked with him. We've sat down. He's spent the night at my house many times. I've cooked breakfast for the guy. He's come and spoke at many of the things that I've spoke Great at. Man. We've been to luncheons and that had some very incredible people sitting at the table. Okay.
First time I met him, I think, was
at my wedding.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. We had quite an interesting couple of tables there in the back of the room, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. I still have some business cards.
We had the former head of CSIS sitting there. I know that.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting people there at the table. But Bruce was many times I had talked to him, and he indicated the same thing to me, that so many things were so compartmentalized that they could have a whole operation going here and nobody would know a thing about it.
That's right.
And that's why when people say the government was involved in 9/11, yes, the entire U.S. government, not in a million years. No. You couldn't keep a secret that big. And this is where, and always, I want you to stop and always use that for a checkpoint when you hear a conspiracy theory that involves people having to pull it off. Always think, how could they keep this secret?
Wasn't it Franklin who said three people can keep a secret if two are dead? I don't recall if it was Franklin.
I think that's a great checkpoint.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
When you get a piece of information, look at it and go, okay, how many people could honestly keep this secret?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That 10 years from now, somebody's not going to go, I can't take it anymore, and go screaming to Fox News. I mean, think about it.
Just described Eric the Tech this past, I think it was yesterday after last night's show. I can't take it anymore. Right, Eric the Tech?
Huh? What happened after last night's show?
He just said, I can't take it anymore. And he was in the fetal position in the studio. That's why we have AI Eric today.
R2-D2 crashed, huh?
Yeah.
But you have to look at that.
Yes.
And you know, because non-disclosure agreements only go so far. People break. People talk.
Of course.
Okay, that's a fact. A lot of these people you see on Twitter, they're former CIA. They're really not supposed to be there talking. Okay? They signed NDAs. But you have to, anytime you start looking at a conspiracy theory or what could be deemed a conspiracy theory, you have to ask that question. And that will help you reel in a lot of things. If you just use just what I told you, reel in a lot of things and go, there's absolutely no way that that happened that way. Because there's no way they could keep it a secret.
And that's a really great point. Okay. Hey, AI Eric the Tech, can you pull up? This is relative. Now, Randy Taylor was talking about Liz Cheney getting the Medal of Honor today from Biden. And you and I, Randy Taylor, having taken courses in body language, behavioral analysis, behavioral science.
Was she humping his leg or was he humping her leg?
That's not quite what I was looking at.
Was it a mutual hump? Okay.
No, I was. The reason I brought this up when you were talking about different things about the CIA and stuff. Okay. I guess this might be a stretch to equate it, but you think about how people are trying to, look at body language and behavioral traits and stuff. This goes into the potential pardons of Cheney, preemptive pardons of Liz Cheney, Benny Thompson, both of which got the Medal of Honor awards.
And once again, why would you give somebody a pardon if they haven't done nothing wrong?
Exactly.
Please tell me that.
And Benny Thompson was practically begging for a pardon from Biden on air today. I think it was today. But the clip of...
Is that the fat black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. I hate to ask you to do that, Eric the Tech, if you have the... if you can find the...
All right, Eric, get out of the fetal position. Come on.
Get up.
Crawl over to the console.
And the reason I ask this is I'd like people who are watching this to take a look at the body language of Liz Cheney. I think her body language speaks volumes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
Despite the peculiar moves, the odd moves of, you know, the hair sniffing Biden. I don't know. If you have it, great. If you don't, no.
Is he sniffing her armpit hair?
No. Liz was uncomfortable, visibly uncomfortable. And you can see it in the ceremony. You had Biden grabbing her. It would be her left hand with his right hand, I think, and pushing this or showing, giving her this medal, okay, giving her this medal with one hand, holding her hand on the holding her other hand, and she's trying to take the medal and he's not letting go, and she rolls her eyes at one point, and kind of backs away from him. And it's almost like she can't wait to get the hell out of there. And to me, and here's why I bring this up. Because they're talking about preemptive pardons. To me, that's the behavior of someone who is trying to hide their guilt while getting a medal for the very act that could land her in jail.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost, definitely hanging JSX on her.
Yeah.
There it is. Here's a piece of metal to commemorate your trip to prison.
I'm telling you, yeah, there's something, obviously, there is something wrong here. And
but her dad, Dick, was at home watching and was so proud.
Yeah.
He had a tear come to his dick eye.
Well, I'll tell you something. Eric, don't worry about it. People can see
it. What a piece of work. If you find it, though, I would like to see it, Eric, definitely.
Yeah.
If you find it. But she's a piece of art.
Well, I'll tell you what. Cut two is Benny Thompson, or by your characterization, the fat bald guy,
fat black guy, fat black bald guy. It's time to make the donuts.
The FBB, whatever. Okay,
and now bastard. Yeah.
Hey, that'd work too.
When you look at people like this, these are people that other countries look over here at the United States.
Yep.
And these are the people they see.
Yeah.
They don't see you and me, Doug. Well, their intelligence people do. But
right.
At a glance, this is what they see, like this guy.
Yeah.
We must be so impressive. And Levine. My name's Admiral Levine.
Well, they brought decency back to the White House, of course. You know, Levine and the Tuckers. The Tuckers.
You can't, you know what? This DEI stuff has got to go. You cannot put people in charge of a government on a DEI experiment. That's like Justin Trudeau. Everybody that he hired and put in any of his cabinet that he gave a position to.
Oh, yeah.
Had no idea what they were doing. They'd never done it before. They were thrown in there and people were actually expecting them to do the job.
Exactly.
The minister all of them, minister of immigration, minister of this, everything Canada, folks, is a minister of.
Yeah.
And Justin Trudeau is just the prime minister of disaster.
I have to say that I'm not I don't give Trudeau, just talking about this conversation, I don't give Trudeau much more time up there. Do you?
No, you know what? He really, for his own good, should step down.
For his own good?
For the good of the country, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's a narcissist. So you have to appeal to him as if he's watching us on the show tonight.
Well, he's one angry woman, I'll tell you that.
I wish Trudeau would watch the show for a while.
Yeah, my gosh. All right, let's go to cut two. This is Benny Thompson slobbering, begging for pardon, basically, well, from Benny. Biden. All right.
Are you going to eat that donut?
Our committee was tasked with the responsibility as a legislative body to do just what we did. Now some member of the executive branch who decides that what the legislative branch did was wrong and they should go to jail is not what the law. But, you know, Donald Trump is known not to follow the law. He's a convicted felon. He's been excused for some of his activities because a Supreme Court determined that they were in the pursuit of his responsibility. We differ with that, but nonetheless, the Supreme Court ruled. But to be honest with you, Rail, as I look at it, it's clear from our vantage point that we did our job. It's clear that in doing our job, Donald Trump disagreed with it. But to threaten someone with jail because you disagree with them is not who we are as a nation. And we got to be number one as a nation because we settle our differences either at the ballot box or in the court of law. Just because an individual dictates what he wants, that's not the law. And in this instance, Donald Trump is wrong.
In light of that, do you fear that Donald Trump will try and go after, target you as chairman and others in the committee, and therefore that people that are saying President Biden should...
I don't think there's any doubt.
Let me ask
this. Well, I don't think there's any doubt.
He'll go after you. There's no doubt, I assume you're saying he'll go after people. So in light of that, do you think President Biden should do preemptive pardons, and would you accept one if he offered it?
Well, let me say this. If the president, in his infinite wisdom, determined that the Republican Committee was legitimate and that we should not be penalized for doing what we as members of Congress should do, and he offers that pardon, I will take it.
Okay, pause. Go ahead and pause that. RT, what were you going to say?
I was just talking about President Biden and his infinite...
You know what?
Do we need a translator for this? I mean, seriously.
Didn't he just say that if two people disagree, one of them shouldn't go to jail? Then why are all those J6 people in jail? Take what he said, what that fat bastard just said, and flop it around. They disagreed with bringing Biden in.
Yeah, when two people disagree,
they disagreed. The J6ers did. They disagreed, and he put them in jail.
He thinks that
doesn't apply to him.
Okay, yeah, but here's the thing: the committee was never a legitimate committee. Yet
I
Bannon and Navarro went to jail for unresponsive to the subpoenas.
No, none of this was legitimate, and the evidence.
He destroyed a terabyte of evidence.
Yeah,
a terabyte.
Would have exonerated people.
Yes,
was never heard publicly.
Yep,
and was destroyed. Any record of that evidence?
Exactly.
When Donald Trump gets in office and needs to be pardons for everybody, then what I would do is people that submitted evidence and all that, and they know their evidence wasn't used, I would ask them to resubmit that evidence, please, to such and such office.
Yep.
And then I would burn this fat bastard and Liz Cheney. I'd burn them.
Well, the entirety of the J6 committee, which is four, Kinziger and I guess Kinziger is the one that cries all the time. And then the other one, why can't I ever remember the other one?
Anyway. This guy, I'm surprised nobody's gone after this guy. I really am. Even in a legal setting, I'm surprised nobody sued him.
Time is short. I mean, or the time, it's still early yet.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, this, his certification needs to go on without a hitch. I'm telling everyone that. And that is my advice.
I think
for peace in this country. See, that's what I'm waiting for. Why did Merchant pull this out of his ass today?
Merchant, do we get to that? Did we show that?
No.
Wait,
we haven't. Why did this subject even come up? I thought this was a dead issue, Doug.
Well, okay, you can take that down. And let's hear from Mike Davis. This is Cut 10. Because this is related. You're right. Okay, this is related. But one thing that I have not heard any media report on, and let me just see this. If I don't think I saved it here. J6 civil suit. Folks, have you heard about this?
No.
RT?
No.
Okay. Of course, I can't.
Please tell me.
Of course, you know, no search engine is going to bring it up. A civil suit was filed, and this is from memory, so excuse me, folks. I'm sorry. A civil suit was filed by a group of J6 prisoners for, I think, $50 billion. Okay. Which is why, like, the media is not covering this. I don't. Let's see, Trump. Yeah, it's all negative about President Trump and January 6th. So, but it's out there. I can't remember who reported on it. But we can cut to Mike Davis. This is Cut 10. And again, they're doing everything possible to stop President Trump from getting in office because they know. Look, in 2016, he was a neophyte. This time, he's loaded for bear. He's a dangerous animal against the left. Thank God. And I do hope that he hits them hard. But we'll go to Cut 10. Mike Davis.
Garrett, we have you. I understand you've just read in on this.
Yeah.
January 10, that is 1 week from today. It is 10 days prior to inauguration. But give me a sense of what Judge Juan Merchan here in New York has suggested will happen on January 10.
Well, just reviewing this 18-page filing from Judge Merchan here, who was basically asked to answer the question of whether Donald Trump's winning the presidential election sort of provides him any additional immunity from prosecution or from sentencing in a case in which he was already convicted by a jury. Remember also over the summer, there was the question of the expanded idea of presidential immunity after the Supreme Court had ruled with a much more expansive view of what activities of a president would create some form of immunity. Judge Merchan goes through the facts of the case, his view of the arguments of both of these questions, and concludes that Donald Trump, as he exists right now, still a private citizen, is not immune from being sentenced in this case in New York City, for which he was already convicted, and as you just reported, Alex, orders him to appear either in person or virtually next Friday morning at 9:30 to be sentenced. He has to answer whether that appearance will be in person or virtually by the 5th. That's this Sunday. I'm out to the Trump transition team to see if they have any response to this. As you all and all of our viewers know, Trump has excoriated the prosecutor in Manhattan, the judge in this case. He believes this is a witch hunt. He believes an unfair prosecution, something that he thinks needs to be cleared off his plate to best do his job as president. Clearly, Judge Merchan disagrees. But what form of sentencing, what might be appropriate here? I think our questions better suited for legal analysts, and there will be lots of time to discuss them over the next week, which will also involve Trump coming here to Washington to attend the state funeral for Jimmy Carter. So a very busy and complex week ahead for the president-elect.
Absolutely. We'll be asking questions.
Still reading through this ruling. I know you are as well. What stood out to you?
Well, I think that our viewers should understand that Donald Trump had made a motion saying that because of presidential temporary immunity when he will serve as president, that that meant that he, during this time while he's president-elect, he should not be sentenced, nor during the time that he is president should he be sentenced. So in other words, this should be kicked down the road for over 4 years. He also said that the case should be dismissed as a result of this temporary immunity that a president enjoys. The DA opposed that. And so here, Judge Mershon is saying, you know what, you're just like anyone else. There is a unanimous jury in a criminal case that found, as you said, Alicia, 34 felony counts, which is remarkable that we're going to have the president-elect potentially being sentenced. One final note, Alicia, is that Donald Trump still has some moves to play because he can seek an appeal right now or a writ of mandamus to try and prevent the sentence from going forward. That would be extremely unusual, but nothing about this case or any of Donald Trump's criminal cases is at all usual. So we should expect some sort of effort by the president-elect to forestall a January 10th sentencing.
Eric Tate, can you pause that for a second? Okay, obviously I miscut that. That was a cold open. By the way, that guy should not Bannon, but the other guy, Weissman, should be in jail. This is absolutely nuts. Now this is Mike Davis beginning. Go ahead.
That is future inmate Weissman of a federal prison. eventually, we're going to get you, Weissman. Take that to the bank, sir. Mike Davis, your thoughts. They're obsessed with President Trump and obsessed with getting this verdict on President Trump from the insane Judge Mershon, sir.
Yeah, so you have this Democrats Manhattan judge, Juan Mershon, who donated to Trump's political opponents, whose adult daughter, Lauren Mershon, is making money off of this case through her fundraising, and whose daughter worked for Kamala Harris's campaign. That requires Mershon's recusal from this case. But he has been hell-bent to get Trump on these bogus charges brought by this Soros-funded Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, along with Matthew Colangelo, who got deployed from the Biden Justice Department to bring this unprecedented case for the non-crime of a businessman settling a nuisance claim and putting it in his private books as a legal expense. I don't know what the hell else you would call it, but somehow this turned into 34 felonies. And here's the problem with this case. There are many reversible errors, but they took evidence of President Trump's top aides in the White House the last time. Two top aides had to come in and testify. That violated the doctrine of presidential immunity, as the Supreme Court clearly ruled in June. And they're ignoring this. They're trying to move forward. This Mershon's trying to move forward to label Trump a convicted felon before he goes back to the White House.
That's what this is, before the inauguration. This is what it is. Mike, hang on for 1 second. Mike Davis joins us. Natalie's going to be the reason they're watching, by the way, is this audience, the most powerful audience and the most powerful political movement in world history, the MAGA movement. President Trump is our leader, and President Trump got his speaker today. They immediately, Mershon, they're obsessed, inmate Weissman, they're obsessed with Trump. You nailed it right there. They want to make sure that when Trump goes to the inaugural, that all the mainstream media is saying he's a convicted felon with the following sentence, you know, even if it's delayed or even if it's, he says, well, it should be prison, but I'm going to do this because you're going to be in the White House, etc. Boris couldn't come on today because the lawyers are working overtime on this even as we speak. But Mike Davis, given we know what Mershon wants to do, we know what that smirking hyena Weissman wants to do, and all those future criminals, well, they are criminals, but future inmates are doing. What is your kind of record? How should the audience think about this, number one? And for the president, what are the potential alternatives here, sir?
So the American people heard all of the evidence and allegations and all four of these bogus criminal prosecutions against President Trump, along with all the civil nonsense, trying to throw him off the ballot, trying to bankrupt him. The American people rendered their verdict on November 5th. And you have these Democrat prosecutors and these Democrat judges and these Democrat hellholes like Judge Mershon, this corrupt, partisan, dangerous judge in Manhattan who want to disregard the will of the American people. These are bogus charges against President Trump. If they would not have brought these charges, President Trump would probably be a retired president in Mar-a-Lago. He would not have been propelled back onto the political scene, into the presidential race, and back into the White House. And these partisan Democrat operatives in these prosecutors' offices and these judges' chambers can't get this through their thick skulls, that the American people are tired of this unprecedented Republican-ending lawfare and election interference. And they're going to learn this the hard way, because guess what? Judge Mershon's going to sentence President Trump on January 10th if the Supreme Court doesn't stop him before that, which the Supreme Court absolutely should do. He's put in this order today. He's probably not going to put President Trump in prison, but he's going to label him a convicted felon before he goes into the White House. And I would say this to these Democrat partisan operatives. Right now, you guys are the hunters. And guess what? On January 20th at noon, you're going to become the hunted, because I'm going to push very hard from the Article 3 Project, very publicly, for the Trump 47 Justice Department to open a criminal probe on all of these Democrat operatives who have waged this unprecedented lawfare. And this special grand jury down in Fort Pierce, Florida, should investigate all of these Democrats, whether it's Alvin Bragg, Tish James, Fannie Willis, Judge Mershon, Matthew Colangelo, Andrew Weissman on the outside. They all need to be investigated by a grand jury in Fort Pierce, Florida, where they did the Mar-a-Lago raid for conspiracy against rights under 18 U.S.C. Section 241, a very serious federal civil rights felony. Jack Smith, who should be part of this investigation, along with Jay Bratt, are very well aware of this charge. It's one of the charges they brought against President Trump in their bogus D.C. case. Judge Tanya Shutkin should also be part of this, because judges are not above the law when it comes to 18 U.S.C. Section 241. As they've told us for the last 3 years of this bogus lawfare against Trump for non-crimes, where they went after Trump, his top aides like you, Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, who went to prison, his supporters on January 6th, who were politically persecuted under the Supreme Court's Fisher decision. There has to be accountability for what happened. So they're gonna gleefully sentence President Trump on January.
So there it is. That was an extended cut. The full clip is at HagmanPI.com. But Randy Taylor, I mean, this, how transparently corrupt this is.
This is desperation. This is trying to get in the last jab, and they're going to pay dearly for it. Mershon should have just walked away.
But no, he can't.
He's from his handlers, but I hope that they come and visit him in prison.
And 18 U.S.C.
What section code was that, 21?
I don't recall, but I've got it written down here somewhere. But the bottom line is, look, that's a real offense. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, deprivation of rights,
jailable offense.
Yes, under the color of authority, and that grand jury that has been impaneled in Florida can, in fact, take that up. Mm-hmm. And look, you know, if I was Weissman and anyone else. Fannie Willis, too, and especially Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade and Mershon and his daughter, they're not exempt from lawfare, or not lawfare, but actual legal.
And doing stuff like that is what is pointing me in the direction that they're going to try to not certify this man, that they think that they're going to get away with all of this. And I just got that feeling that that's what they think. And I just really think they're in for a surprise. And well, I just sent you that clip, too. I just sent you not a clip, but a just a snapshot of the $50 billion headline.
Oh,
you I sent it to you and Eric. Yeah, I sent
okay.
you and Eric.
All right. So thanks for grabbing that. So the J6ers, a group of them, are who are they suing? The government, right?
Against DOJ.
The Department of Justice for $50
billion. Dollars. That's with a B.
That's right.
Wow.
Good. Good. There's the headline.
Yep, there it is.
January 6th, political prisoners launch historic $50 billion class action lawsuit against the Department of Justice. You don't hear Rachel Madcow reporting on this or, you know.
Madcow.
Oh, did I say Madcow? I'm sorry.
Is that what? Yeah. I can't even imagine, even if I was on the left, I can't imagine employing her. Well, I really can't. I don't. It's like the people that put The View on television. I don't. What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, Madcow was enjoying a $30 million salary, and then she had to take a $5 million pay cut. So can you imagine $25 million a year for doing what she does? I mean,
she's delusional. If you listen to her, which it hurts to listen to her, her voice to me just, it's like the fingernails on the chalkboard thing. I don't know how they convince themselves of this stuff every morning, because they have to have like a team meeting in their bathroom in the morning, talking to themselves in the mirror about, let's see how stupid we can sound today.
Man.
Because they go so far off the rails. You're like, does anybody seriously believe this person? I understand that the media is corrupt, but that is insane. The things that come out of that woman's mouth. Insane.
And I'm not convinced that she's not Mark Cuban in drag, but what do I know? Okay. I'm just saying, I don't know.
She does look like him. If you just had changed the hair pieces, we'd have twins.
Yeah.
Serious.
Yep. Yeah. This whole thing is out of control.
It's got to be real, Dan. Somebody's got to do something with the media. And I think they need to take the approach that Trump did. Sue them. That's the only thing they understand.
Yeah.
And if we get the right judges in place that are actually fair and impartial, then these type of lawsuits would actually bear some weight, which they need. They need to penalize these people financially. That's the only thing they understand.
You know, I've been in multiple courtrooms for multiple reasons, but I do remember being in federal court. Now, this is something personal, okay? And I remember reading where I was. I can't really talk about it, except to say, I question a lot of the federal judges. I really do. Okay, so forget about everything. But from personal experience, I have to say, I think a lot of the federal judges are really, they're out there. They're way out there.
Is it because they're not as like tightly governed, say, as a circuit judge?
I think they're more ideologically driven.
Okay, so they're activists.
They're the good word, as opposed to following the law.
Right.
They're
they follow their law.
Their law.
And right. there's where the interpretation's broken.
Yeah. So I'm not happy about the, and we've seen the Biden regime or the people behind the oatmeal brain puppet cramming these judgeships in, or judges in. And, you know, that's really going to be a mess.
You question, and maybe you know this.
I don't know it. I know what you're going to ask, and I'm not sure I know that. But go on.
All right. The way the president can appoint judges, can he also remove judges?
I don't know. I don't know. I suppose
the House needs cleaning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if they could just go back and do enough of an investigation to say this person's violated people's rights on five occasions, they need to be disbarred.
Well,
there needs to be something that's governing these judges. It's like an ungoverned body, these federal judges. And we have a problem here.
And this is why the Soros money and the
Soros needs to be indicted.
Oh, yeah.
There's absolutely enough evidence against him.
Him and his son.
And just the things they've said against the U.S. government publicly.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, puts them in a very bad place. And we know privately, if we do investigations on the, because we know they fund Black Lives Matter. We know that they're Antifa. We know that that money trickles down through their Democrat fronts.
Yep.
The Democrat organization fronts. And I think if you could just prove that just to Black Lives Matter or Antifa, I would absolutely go after Soros for jail time. Have him die in prison. And that little snot nephew of his. Wouldn't you love to be sitting in a restaurant and he walked in? I would love it because I know he's got to get up and go to the bathroom sometime.
I'd worry about my future freedom. anyway.
I see how far I can shove that shrimp. these people that run around and there's no impunity here.
No. I mean
and that's the part that floors me. I'm to the point I feel like Doug says, I'll say whatever I want anymore. I'm gonna take off the filters for the reason if they can do it, I can do it. Right? I mean, isn't that where we're getting to?
Yeah.
Why do the rules apply to me and not to them?
Well, yeah, and that's, look.
I'm so tired of this. Two-tier justice.
You know, I've gone through multiple books. You know, Peter Schweitzer's book, or I'm sorry, Seamus Bruner wrote Compromised, okay? This is probably, I think this was 2018. And then Miranda Devine wrote this book here, The Big Guy. I got books everywhere. I love to read. And you have, of course, Provoked about Ukraine.
I ordered that the other night when you were talking about it.
And I saw the picture of it
came in today, and I am so looking forward to digging into that book. You know what I'm going to be doing this weekend.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something, you know, I can never get enough information.
I recommend that our audience, before you can read books like Provoked, you have to read Douglas J. Hagman's books, okay, to give you insight into what you're going to read next, right? I know everybody that hear my voice has ordered a copy of Doug's book. I know this to be true, right? If not, please get one ordered. You need to read these. He has excellent books out there.
Well,
He's working on another one.
Yeah, okay? And I got emails saying, when's the third one going to be out? Just cut me some slack, man. Okay. It's not like I've been sitting on my hands.
He works 24 hours a day, folks. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't have the sleep patterns of a normal person because he's working all the time.
Sad.
I can tell you that. I can email him or text him. And I'm famous for the 3 o'clock in the morning text where I say good morning, because I'll assume when he gets up and he's having coffee that he'll see my text. And I want to brighten his day. So I quietly at 3 a.m. type in good morning, blah, 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 blah. Hit it. And then I hear ding. And he answered it. I kid you not. If you ever wanted a job done right, especially something that required a great investigator, if you ever wanted to write, I would recommend Doug Hagman. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Go figure. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But yeah, you know, it was funny too. I'll just say this too. I think it was like 7 this morning, so it'd be 5 Quails, Steve Quails time, and you know, my phone rings and so I pick it up and it's Steve. It's just funny. Hey, Steve. Anyway, the pardons. I want to mention this because I think that there's going to be more and more about the pardons. I think there will be more pardons. I think, you know, I don't know whether they're going to preemptively pardon Cheney and Thompson and the J6 committee, but doesn't that make you think? Doesn't that make you think that, wait a second, if they're considering it?
Yeah, it's been discussed.
Okay, and Fauci, you know, hey.
Like I said, take away people's ability to punish through the legal system.
Yep.
You're putting those people in a dangerous place.
Fauci would
be better off facing the legal system. At least then he'd probably get life in prison. But if he's caught on the street by somebody, say, that his shot killed, maybe like a 15-year-old girl that had nothing wrong with her.
Right.
Until after the shot, and her daddy's pissed. You need to think about these things.
I want Fauci to think about that every single day of his life.
He is absolutely a person without conscience. And we were talking about on the show, or when I read that thing about how they could kill the children with the experiments and they just dump their bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Made me so sick to my stomach, Doug. Sick to my stomach.
Ooh, when I saw the Gate of Heaven Cemetery, okay, and what Celia Farber was talking about. And folks, in case you haven't heard this, Celia Farber had done an investigation and found that Fauci was one of the principals that were taking kids out of CPS, out of foster orphanages, foster homes, or whatever, and in particular minorities, and conducting human experiments on the children, okay, and then burying them in mass graves.
With no guardians or that wouldn't be missed.
Exactly. And folks, understand this. This is not some conspiracy nonsense. This actually happened. And to see the area of the mass graves where children were buried in, you know, 2, 3 per casket. And when I say casket, I'm being charitable.
To
think this man was behind it.
Yeah. And these children had tubes in their stomachs.
Yes.
Because they refused to take the medication after a while because it was so horrible what it would do to them. They put tubes in their stomachs to force the medication on them until it killed them.
Yeah.
Why don't you stop and think about a child screaming?
Yeah.
While somebody's standing there injecting stuff into their tube. What kind of sick bastard would do that? Pardon him. Go ahead and pardon Fauci. You go right ahead. Jump up there and pardon that little bastard. Okay? Because his day is coming. You can do it legally or somebody's going to snap. I'm just telling you. We're in America. I know how Americans think, baby.
With a few word changes. Never mind. Yeah, I just remember being in court and saying some things, and the judge looking at the other person saying, "You know what? You better go to jail. That's protective custody."
Yes. and I mean that, Doug. I'm not saying that to threaten Fauci. Fauci doesn't need to be threatened. Okay, Fauci's already in trouble either way. He's in trouble either way. Okay.
And Gates.
He will answer. Gates is another one that's been sliding under that radar.
Yep.
And it's just time for that whole deal to crash on him.
100%.
Yeah, and everybody needs to remember, I remember somebody hitting Gates in the head with an egg.
It was a pie.
Pie.
It was a pie back.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I'm telling you, these... Yeah, and I think you're right. These people have no idea the wrath of the patriot when they finally say, you know what? Yeah, we didn't win. I mean, they would not let us exact justice properly. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to handle
it. And think about that. If you take away a man, let's say that there's a man and he's praying every night that Fauci's brought to justice, and then he gets issued a pardon. How many daddies are out there, you think, that have had their kids die at a young age because of those shots? Why don't you stop and think about that? That should answer the question. I'm not threatening Fauci by any stretch of the imagination.
You don't need to.
I'm telling you reality, baby.
Yeah.
You're talking about human nature.
Yeah.
You're talking about love. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and I know I've shown this before. Eric the Tech, let me just see. Yeah. Folks, if you remember, well, Eric the Tech, my second bookmark on my X feed, if you can pull that up, it's only 17 seconds long. And folks, you've seen this before. This is a man whose son was kidnapped by his karate instructor. He was found in another state, flown back by officers on a plane. Folks, you remember this back in the 80s? Dad was inside the airport at a payphone. They marched this man. They marched this man through the airport. And the dad turns around and takes mm-hmm. care of business. I don't know if you have that.
This is kind of like Lee Harvey Oswald being walked through the hallway in the Dallas Police Department.
But this man was a little bit more dedicated in his shot placement. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Eric the Tech, do you have it by chance?
Yes.
All right. Can you play it? 17 seconds. Here it is. So they didn't show the shot, obviously. Yeah, they didn't show the shot. It was a headshot. Save the taxpayers a whole lot of money.
Yep. And I would have let him walk.
I think he did, actually.
Good.
Yeah.
We're getting down to the end here, my friend.
Eric, thank you. Oh, wait a second. Before you do that, 50 seconds. Did you happen to get my Friday funny? Eric the Tech, Friday funny. Did you happen to get that? Can you cue that up, or do we have enough time?
Did now.
All right. Do we have enough time?
Yeah.
Watch
this. Do you have a lot of work to do?
Yeah. I got to water grass, pick stuff up, pick sticks, chairs, all kinds of stuff up.
What about the chickens? You going to feed them?
Yeah.
You do? What about the eggs?
Yeah, I'm going to check them. I'm going to check the mail.
Well, I already checked the mail.
Okay. Any?
Yeah, we did get a few things. Bills.
Okay, I'm gonna run over there and water the grass over there. I'll be in by time one. Okay.
What time?
One.
One? Well, it's like it's 5:40 right now.
Yeah. Anyways, I gotta hurry and pick some sticks up and water the grass.
All right. Love you.
Bye.
We can't leave you on a bad note. It's a funny note, Randy Taylor. That's.